bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." Would you pray with me? Oh God, we believe that even here and even now, you are in this work of making all things new. We long for the day when there is no death, no crying, no pain. And yet we know in this day, you're stirring our hearts toward healing and hope and newness, even as we wait. Father, we thank you for your kingdom that is still to come. And we thank you for all the ways it already has come with Jesus Christ, our Lord, and his life among us. And so, Lord, today, this first Sunday of this new year, we bring to you all the places in our hearts and our lives that need something new. New hope, new forgiveness, a new start. And we ask you to draw near and to do what only you can do. Make all things new for the sake of our lives and your kingdom. We invite you to move freely in these moments and in this place. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you found him, bring me word, so I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Would you pray with me? And oh God, now as we turn to your word, it's an old familiar story. Would you make it new in us today? With the help of your spirit in this place and in our hearts, would you help us hear whatever it is you want us to hear, so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be, so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we join churches around the world in celebrating Epiphany, That word epiphany actually means something like an illuminating discovery, a light, a burst of understanding, a way made clear. And with that, we remember the wise men, those astrologers from the east who followed this strange star, knowing that it had to mean something. Something that was worth leaving everything behind. And they embarked on this journey that would bring with it obstacles and unknowns and invitations and threats and awe and fear. Their pursuit, their wonder, that star that led them to the Christ. At first sight, all they could do was bow down and worship him. And having been with him, they went home another way. The star they followed was the Christ star, the place that led them into the presence of the King of Kings, the Savior of the world. What it did, changed them for good. And so on this very first Sunday of this brand new year, even better, this brand new decade, I have to ask my friends, which stars are you following? Who or what is guiding your way? Who are you putting your hopes in? What's speaking into the dreams you're dreaming for yourself, for our community, our world? Which stars are guiding your way? You see, we live in a star-struck culture. You know it, don't you? Those that we call stars, they dominate everything. Social media, TV media, they dictate our styles, our attitudes. We wear clothes with other people's names on the back of them, especially today, right? Happy to take on someone else's identity, at least for a while, so long as they're our star. Rather than form our own thoughts, we are in this habit of sharing and retweeting the thoughts of those stars that we align with. Just let them speak for us, at least on the big stuff. Ask our youth group today what they're striving for. And many of them will tell you something to the effect of being the next YouTube star. They follow dozens of them, and they want to be those stars, those influencers in the world, the ones who are watched. We love stars. We follow other kinds of stars, too. I got an Instapot for Christmas, and I've been trying it out, and I've only been using 5-star recipes. And so whenever I'm skimming through the thousands and thousands on the internet, I can narrow my focus by looking for those 5 safe stars. When you're traveling these days, booking hotels, trying out restaurants, hardly anyone does that anymore without searching for stars first, right? Some of us follow after some idealized version of our life, of what we want it to be. And so as we browse through Pinterest or Amazon, we star all those things that we think will help us get where we're trying to go. Truth is, some of us are our very own stars. Follow your own truth. That's the thing these days. Make your own way in the world. March to the beat of your own drum. That's the mantra of our culture, and lots of us have bought into it. In this brand new year, some of us are already determined as ever to do it our way, do whatever makes me happy, be the author of my own story, our pursuit to shine our own star. And some of us, if we're really honest, don't follow any star at all. You're like, oh, it's a new year? I didn't even recognize it. Life is just kind of haphazard, unintentional. We wake up, we work, we eat. We watch some TV, we sleep, we do it again and again and again. We're not really looking to grow in any specific way these days. Not really seeking to be changed. not in any intentional way, just kind of letting life happen to us as it may. Approaching 2020, really there's nothing different about who we are than who we were when we approached 2019 or 2009 or 1989. No real growth, no deeper intimacy with God or anyone else. No new risk on love, no endeavors beyond ourselves pursued. Just more of the same. Head down, stumbling forward, forgetting to look for stars at all. As we step into this new year, I have to ask again, which stars are leading you? What's drawing you? What's giving you hope and vision for this year? If you've made any goals, any resolutions, who or what do they reveal is your star? Money, comfort, health, beauty, attention, success. And if you haven't thought a thing about this new year, might you ask yourself if you have any stars? Anything within you that calls you to keep growing, keep moving, keep changing. On this first Sunday of a new year, as we consider our stars, might I suggest there is only one star worth giving our year, even better, our lives to. There is only one star that is totally worth all of our journeys, all of our pursuits, all of our risk, all of our hopes, all of our dreams. And that is the Jesus star, the Jesus way. And the wise men would surely tell us the same. These guys, their lives revolved around the stars. Looking up day after day, watching to see if anything beyond them was coming to be. And then one night, they see it. A star, unlike any other star. And right then, they leave their home and their jobs and the things they had and their plans to go after that star. And their journey was long, months long, didn't matter. They had seen the star, and something about it they knew was worth the risk. Something about that star couldn't be ignored. Arriving in Jerusalem, they go to the only place that makes sense to them, the palace. Because the star had to signify a brand new king, so they may as well ask the current king what he knew about it. Turns out that was a pretty dumb idea. Don't tell kings there's someone coming to replace them. Herod, he freaks out, and he calls together all of his guys who know something about signs and stars. And they say, oh, yes, the Messiah is coming. And he's going to come to Bethlehem, that city of David, again, the new king. So Herod sends the wise men off with orders to go find that baby and report back to him exactly what they find. For he wants to worship the baby too. Right. They leave his palace, orders in hand, their eyes even still turned upward. And that star reappears and leads them to the home of the Christ. They're overwhelmed by joy. They knock on the door, and there he is, the child. He has no special robe, no halo over his head, contrary to Renaissance art. To the average eye, the eye of one not trained in following the God stars, he's just another Jewish baby. But these guys knew that he was anything but that. Everything within them in that moment urged them to get on their knees and to worship him and to stay in that place for a while and simply adore him. They gazed, they kneeled. For some time, they didn't say a word. And eventually, they opened their bag and they presented their gifts. And these are no gifts for a baby. These were gifts for a king. They knew something by following that star. And they had this dream one night. And in that dream, a warning to go home a different way. And guess what? They listened to that dream. And they went home with a change of plans. A change of heart. The star that led them to this baby changed them enough to convince them that he was totally worth protecting. Their very own lives now at risk, defying the king's orders. Something about that star that led them to the baby said that this risk no longer mattered at all. There were things in life more important than being saved. They came to find the new king, and they realized the King of Kings had found them. They came to give him gifts, and they realized he had come to be their gift, a greater gift than gold, a gift of life, of salvation for all. They followed that Jesus star until it led them smack dab into his presence. And being there with him, they left that place forever changed, choosing a new path that just might make a way for life for everyone. Stargazers, they found one star that led to life. And I think they would urge us today, as we start a new year, to know that there is still just one star that will really fill your heart, that will really change you in every good way, in an everlasting way. And that is the Jesus star. This year, might we follow him like never, ever before. How do we do that, we ask? How do we recognize God's presence in our midst? And how do we find ourselves truly worshiping him like they did? And how do we even know what gifts we have to give? And how to give them? And when to give them? And how do we know when we need to go home another way? When it's finally time for change? How do we follow the Jesus star? Good news is he's taught us in so many ways, all the ways to draw near to him, the ways to walk in the light that shines from him. So this morning, I'm sorry, but I'm not revealing any great mystery. Instead, we're kind of starting the new year with just getting back to the basics. It's kind of the diet and exercise stuff of our spiritual lives. And don't we love the diet and exercise stuff? It's the best. Those things that we do again and again, those simple things that open our eyes to Jesus and free up our hearts to adore him and loosen our feet to follow him. What are those things that he's so clearly given us? Let's get to them. Before those things, one big thing, we follow the Jesus star. We draw close to this Jesus like never before. Get this word, it's important. Intentionally. Intentionally. You see, the wise men didn't just stumble upon Jesus by accident. They put some work into going where their eyes said go. And they made some hard choices to leave some stuff behind and to mix up some daily routines and put everything else on hold to be near him. They didn't just wander aimlessly through life and then one day wake up and realize, hey guys, I think we found a king. Well, good thing we've got some gifts that are ready to give him. No, they listened and they looked. And they packed their bags, and one step at a time, over months and months, they made an intentional journey to not miss whatever it was that God was up to. I can promise you this for 2020. We're not going to grow in our lives with Jesus by accident. Just not. We're not going to haphazardly stumble into 2021 without doing a thing to know and serve Jesus more in 2020 and suddenly realize, by gosh, Jesus and I are closer than ever. Relationships don't work like that. Name one person that you're really close to, that you don't put any effort into that relationship at all. Name one. Doesn't happen, does it? Relationships take work. Same with the living God, who happens to be a little harder to see and a little harder to hear than sometimes we even want him to be. It takes a little bit of work. How do we follow the Jesus star this year? On purpose. On purpose. Making intentional choices to seek his heart like never before. After that, after we've chosen to do it on purpose, it's the stuff you've heard 1,000 times before. But I don't know about you, but my heart needs to hear it again. Because even your pastor, get this, you may be shocked, becomes complacent sometimes and lazy and just flat out busy. And lets these daily invitations to find Jesus and be with him just slip by for a day, a week at a time. So if you'll give me permission this morning, I just want to share these reminders to my own heart. And if you want to be nosy and eavesdrop, you can. And you might find that some of these might be for your heart too. But at least let me talk to myself. You guys get me like every other week of the year. So for this morning, here's what I'm saying to my heart. How can I be intentional about seeking Jesus and being near him? We can read his story every day. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, I have a love for those Bible reading plans that take you through all of Scripture in a year. But even more than that, my heart is to see Scripture going deep inside of us and changing us day by day. To see us going deeper and deeper into this word and this story, not just reading as many pages as possible and checking as many boxes as possible. This year, in my heart, I feel compelled to read the Jesus stories. Something from one of the Gospels every single day. It may be a chapter. It may just be a verse. Doesn't matter how much. What matters is I want to read with my heart. Slowly and on purpose. The second that I'm reading and God's Spirit nudges me to stop right there and I hear that whisper that says, Jamie, that this is my word for your heart to receive today. I want to stop right there and begin to consider how this story is now beckoning me to live. We follow the Jesus star. We encounter the living Jesus by absorbing ourselves in the Jesus story. And the good news is we've got it right here. If you don't have the Jesus story, if you don't have Scripture in your home, take the one in your pew. We've got plenty and we'll get more. Be in his story this year. Let's read it with our hearts. Maybe like never before. And then seeking the Jesus star. Jesus' heart. There will never be any better way than prayer. This year, I've got to keep talking to him. And I've got to keep giving him plenty of space to talk to me. This year, I'm going to be practicing silence more and more. That's unhurried time where I invite Jesus to sneak in and guide me however he desires. I've tried it many times before, and I'll tell you guys, I am like an infant in this practice. My mind goes all over the place. I want to cut Jesus off every few seconds because he's not speaking loudly enough or fast enough. But you know, his voice is worth all of those growing pains and those awkward moments. So I'm going to try it again and again and again. until each day Jesus knows that in my life, at least at some point, he totally had the floor. I wonder, how's your prayer life going, stepping into 2020? You see, it's really hard to follow the Jesus star if we never stop to hear the voice that says, look up. Don't miss it. It's hard to drop all of our worries and go on a journey if we're not talking to the God who assures us of his love every step of the way. What's the new way that you'll practice communication with your living God this year? I'm trying silence. Join me in that if you want. Or what is God already stirring up in you? What matters is that you talk to him. And that you listen to him. And that you do it again on purpose. How to zoom in on the Jesus star in a world where everything shines and everything calls us to follow. Again, diet and exercise stuff. Choose worship. The wise men, first thing they did at the sight of Jesus was worship. And in that moment, at least for a moment, everything was as it should be. God exalted, his people humbled, hearts open, heaven and earth closer than ever before. The Sunday right before Christmas, my friend Cameron, who's with her brother somewhere, she's in the fifth grade. She came up to me a little bit frazzled, feeling the same way that we all feel the Sunday right before Christmas. That there's just too much to do and too little time. And in this kind of exasperated tone, Cameron said, Pastor Jamie, why do we have to do church on Sundays of all days? And I told her, I said, that's a good question. I said, that's the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And so every Sunday we come together and remember his resurrection. She said, okay, and went back to her seat. But I've been thinking about that ever since. Because life is hard, you guys. And this world can be flat out depressing. Exhausting, even. And if I'm not careful, it only takes me about 6 days to really start believing that my neighbor who votes differently from me is now my enemy. And my past mistakes are all that anyone remembers about me anymore. And that my end goal is just to pay bills and get to Friday. And if I'm not careful, it only takes me about 6 days to forget that I am fully loved by the living God. And covered completely by the grace of Jesus. And given every day a hope and a future. And that I'm here on this earth not just to survive and be tolerated, but to live and to stir up life around me. It only takes a few days for me to forget that there is a real kingdom coming in our midst, and it has no flag or party behind it, but it has a God on its throne and all of eternity at its bidding. And it is a kingdom that wins and that overcomes darkness and evil and division and death. And it is a kingdom that moves forth with love and compassion and justice and grace. And it is a kingdom where Jesus is Lord and Jesus is in control and he is moving and he is asking us to move with him. Every 6 days I forget that and then I come back and remember it again. I need to show up at least every 7 days to remember what's real about who God is and who I am and what God's doing and what I can do with him. I need to show up every 7 days to look around this room and see that I'm not the only crazy person giving my life to this other kind of king, an other kind of kingdom. I need to hear you sing as I sing. I need to see my 80-year-old friends who push through aches and pains of every kind to be here. And I need to see 4-year-old Terry bouncing down the aisles, yelling, good morning, full of excitement at every person he sees that we get to be in this place together, worshiping Jesus. I need this every week, when at least for an hour, everything seems right in this tiny pocket of the world. God lifted high and his people showing up for him, hearts open and bowed down, giving our lives to the King of Kings again. Want to follow the Jesus star? Want to draw nearer to the heart of Jesus than ever before this year? Don't neglect worship. Doesn't work without it. Want to follow the Jesus star? Above everything else this year, be close to the Jesus heart. Try to serve him. The wise men, they gave the very best gifts they had to give. And then they risked their very own necks to let this child live. In serving Jesus, we find that his heart is in a way near to us that we cannot find in any other way, it seems. Over Christmas, I loved hearing these stories from so many of you, of these beautiful stories of how you used those envelopes. You shared of going about your usual errands and routines, but with hearts and eyes wide open to see who Jesus was shining his light on. And you joined him in sharing a gift. And these stories came back with great excitement of not only the receiver, but of your heart feeling so connected to the heart of God and just that simple awareness and that simple gift. What if your family kept it going? What if your family put $10 in an envelope again this month? And each day you're asking God as a family to show you where you can join his heart moving in the midst of your normal routines. Guess what? Those gifts stick out more when they're not in December. Maybe it's been tugging on your heart for a while to invest in our children or our teenagers. Did you know that some of our leaders at the Fort Youth Center have showed up every single day of their week for an entire year now, with little to no relief? And did you know that with our children on Wednesday nights, we haven't had new help in over a year? We'd love some folks to join in. I hear it all the time. Oh, Pastor Jamie, we just love seeing the young people at the church. Maybe it's the year to move beyond seeing them to knowing them, investing in them. Mentoring young believers, visiting lonely elderly at home, walking alongside frightened immigrants, serving a hot meal to hungry people. Hundreds of ways to join hands with Jesus and serve. Offer your gifts so his name might be exalted. Take a risk. Maybe mess up. You know, the wise men kind of blew it when they went to Herod. That was dumb. It could have messed up everything. Don't let the fear of failure keep you from trying some bigger than yourself kind of stuff. So God's kingdom might take off in Mason County like it never has before. If you mess up trying to follow the Jesus star and worship Jesus the King, it's no big deal. He can take care of that. Fail for crying out loud. Because it just means that you were trying something out that's a little bit bigger than yourself. Serve Jesus like you have never served him before. Take risk for Jesus that you have never dared take before. And you will be walking in the light of that Jesus star, bowing down in the presence of our Lord before you even know what happened to you. Serve him this year. We're all following something into this new year. Some idea of what we want to be about, how we want to get there. My friends, I pray that each of us would want nothing more than to follow Jesus. That our hearts would be satisfied with nothing less than falling deeper in love with him. That our feet would be antsy until we're walking with him. And our hands would be dirty from washing feet right beside him. Of all the things you might follow this year, might you choose the Jesus star, the Jesus way, the Jesus heart, just Jesus. What could be more compelling? Just Jesus. What could be more important for you, your family? Just Jesus. What could be more worthwhile? Just Jesus. What could be a higher priority? Oh, I pray nothing but just Jesus. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, now as we come to your table, we remember all the ways you have led us and guided us to this place, the grace you've poured upon us. And we lean into the hope of the love we still get to share with you and the meaningful work we still get to do. May we see this table today as our invitation to slow down and to let our hearts share this sacred space and sacred time with you, being honest about where we are and taking some risk on trusting you with where we're going. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.